So this is part six, and this time we're going to talk about the Tudors. So first up, the first Tudor was Henry VII, and he was the first person who made peace with between the House of Lancaster and the House of York and formed the Tudors. And he was very much a very peaceful king, and he wanted to keep his job. He wanted to kind of strengthen England and make it better. He reduced the power of rich men and nobles and lords and all the people that were in charge of the country. But at the same time, he saved money hard. And it was a very stable time when King Henry VIII, his son, took over. So King Henry VIII... this is going to be very reduced because there's been programs and programs made about Henry VIII. He was one of our most popular kings, and he was largely popular on the TV, really, these days, because he was forthright, he was boisterous, he had a big belly, and he enjoyed playing sport, and he loved women, and he married six times. So he's known for getting married six times, and the consequences of that is that England had to break away from being part of the Church of Rome, the Roman Catholic Church. So it's all tangled up in the fact that essentially King Henry VIII wanted to do what he wanted, really, which is really be with as many women as he'd like to. Okay, so his first wife was Catherine of Aragon. She gave him one daughter, but she didn't give him a male heir, and that's important. So he wanted a divorce. He did this by asking the Pope. He went to ask the Pope, Church of Rome, and the Pope said yes, which was unusual for people at the time. Very few people would be able to divorce. But because he was the King of England, because they wanted to build better relationships with the English, the Pope at the time said yes. But he wasn't too happy with the ruling. And it became more and more difficult when he wanted to remarry again. So he wanted to become the head of the Church of England, and we'll move on to that in a second. His second wife was Anne Boleyn, and she was very pretty, but she was accused of having lovers. He was very jealous of her and ended up chopping her head off. His third wife was Jane Seymour. It was Henry's favourite. She was Henry's favourite. She gave him a son who was called Edward, but unfortunately she died in childbirth. And then there was Anne of Cleves. She was quite ugly, and she was German. She was really one of those marriages, a bit like Henry VII, that was made to try and make things a bit more peaceful among the royalty across Europe, but he divorced her. He didn't like her at all. Then Catherine Howard came after that. Again, he got a bit jealous of her, and he accused her again of having lovers, and this was enough to get her locked up in the Tower of London and get her head chopped off eventually as well. And then finally, in the latter parts of his years, in the later period of his life, he married Catherine Parr, so another Catherine, and he liked her, and she looked after him as he got old, and he died with her holding his hand. Okay, so a bit more about Henry VIII's impact. One big change was what's called the Reformation. So it's the churches reforming across the UK and across Europe. So when the Pope stopped letting Henry VIII do what he wanted to do, King Henry VIII said, well, maybe I want the church in England to have a different type of Christian faith. It was still going to be Christian, but it was a different type. So he saw that there was this new kind of religion called Protestantism, and he thought that would be a good start for making a Church of England. So the Church of England would be Protestant, but King Henry VIII would be the head of the church, not the Pope in Rome. Okay, so the difference between Catholicism, the Catholics, and the Protestants is that there was less ceremony. It was a more of a modern religion. So all of the old traditions were kind of, some of them were thrown away. So things such as saints, or going, as you would in the Canterbury Tales, to different shrines across the country, wasn't important anymore. What was really important was your personal relationship with God. So it wasn't that you should be scared of the church, or that, you know, there are people who belong to the church and people who don't belong to the church, but it's actually about your personal relationship with God. So Church of England grew in England, Wales and Scotland in the 16th century, so from 1500s onwards. But, you know, because close to home, there were other people in England who were Catholics, this began to have more and more consequences and problems, particularly with fighting in the country, but also in Ireland and Scotland. Okay, so let's start with Wales. Okay, so the Welsh were doing okay. They were less violent and less aggressive. So actually, they were becoming more and more integrated in life in England. So they were sending people to the House of Commons, for example, to start debating in the House of Commons, and also having more influence on their own parliament and legal system. So they were doing well. But then in the aristocracy, things were beginning to change. So after Henry VIII died, Edward VI, his son, took over. And together, and he kind of established with the church this Book of Common Prayer, this book of prayer for the commoners, for the normal people in England. And that book is still used today in certain parts of Church of England. When Edward died, his sister Mary was a Catholic, okay? And she was a very famous Catholic called Bloody Mary. And she'd been spending a lot of time in Scotland, roaming around, killing people, which is why she was called Bloody Mary, because she was killing prostitutes, Protestants, okay? When Bloody Mary died, Elizabeth I took over. And Elizabeth was the daughter of Henry VIII and the second wife, Anne Boleyn. And Queen Elizabeth I was one of loved queens, most popular queens, and this was what heralded the dawn of the Elizabethan period, which we're going to talk about next time. But the thing to know for this section is that she was a Protestant, she was Church of England, and she was seen as a kind of person, strong views, but everyone had to go to church. There were some rules, though, about if you were a Catholic, you needed to also have a pledge to the Queen as well. So we'll get into that next time when we're talking about this conflict and what the consequences of that were.